stiff arm. Gore cuts it inside. Frank Gore is still going. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Two from the 40, couple of tight ends, receiver right and Adrian. Hand off Adrian. Scoots loose up the middle. Across the 30, to the 20, inside the 10. Touchdown!
First down and 10, Johnson. Gets a shoulder square. Watch out! He's got getting away from the top speed. Touchdown!
Welcome in to episode 41 of Grinding the Edge here on South Harmon. I'm your host, Koopa. You can find me on X at Dynasty Koopa and on Discord at KoopaTroopa8. If you have not joined the South Harmon Discord, you need to go and do that. Go to patreon.com/South Harmon in order to sign up to get access to the Discord, where there will be tons of amazing fantasy people talking fantasy all days of the week. If you are the kind of person that wants to get into more fantasy drafts, you want to know all about the upcoming 2025 class and how to deal with it, or you're just somebody that likes talking football all day long, then you absolutely want to be a part of the community. So once again, that's patreon.com/South Harmon. This week, I'm continuing my series on roster constructing using only backup players. In this case, I'm going to specifically be talking about backup running backs. For backup running backs, I am counting that as any running back outside of the top 40. The reason I'm using the top 40 is because when you have to start a certain number of running backs in a standard lineup league, you have two running back slots, and so you have to start at least 24. And then usually you have two or three flexes. Those two or three flexes are about a 50-50 split of running backs and wide receivers, but they lean a little bit more towards the wide receivers in a PPR sense. So if you have three spots, you would expect that you need somewhere around 12 to 15 running backs. And so if you add that on to the 24, you get 36 to 39. So I assume that 40 is outside of the range of running backs that you would expect to start and be comfortable with on a weekly basis. Instead, anyone outside the top 40 is somebody who is either on a bad offense, is a backup who's not really relevant, or is somebody that's in that weird split backfield situation where you don't know what to expect. So that's the number that I'm targeting, anybody outside of the top 40. Similar to how with quarterbacks, I started with anybody outside the top 32. That's my target for running backs here, is top 40. What's different about running backs and quarterbacks is we have so many more options. The running backs that I have chosen for my sample are running backs that finish in the top 24. So these are running backs that if you were starting them in your lineup, they would come in as an RB2. The important reason that I'm looking at that is because that means that you are matching the lower end of teams with any of these running backs. Just like with quarterbacks, I'm going to start with a best ball look and see, okay, what does it take to guarantee yourself that you have a top 24 running back every single week of the season? If you remember with quarterbacks, we had 17 different quarterbacks who finished top 24. But with the running backs, we have 35. So already we have so many more to choose from. And some of these running backs are actually really, really good. So unlike with quarterbacks where week one, there is no quarterback who was outside the top 32 and then finished the top 24 in week one, we actually have that at the running back position. In fact, we have two. We have J.K. Dobbins and we have Alexander Mattison. Because these guys came out of nowhere, they were able to pop in at week one, and then they also helped us a lot over the course of the season. And so I set out to say, okay, let's cover as many weeks as possible with as few players as possible. So the first one that I found, the first combination, is Bucky Irving, J.K. Dobbins, and Tank Bigsby. Now, you wouldn't think of Tank Bigsby as being somebody that is like, oh, he covered a lot of weeks this past season, but he covers the ones that Bucky Irving and J.K. Dobbins didn't. And the two of them, they combined for so many weeks, you just needed somebody to slot in the hole remaining. Now, of course, I don't want to just say you only need three running backs, because that's obviously not right. So, instead, what I've done is I've started cutting out running backs who fit certain thresholds that you probably would not have had these running backs if you were trying to play an entirely backup strategy. So, as an example, out of those three, Bucky Irving is somebody who you drafted in your rookie draft this past season, and so I'm going to remove him and see what the next lowest combination is. The next lowest is four players: Tyrone Tracy, J.K. Dobbins, Justice Hill, and Alexander Mattison. Once again, I have another rookie in this data set. You probably didn't have him if you were going full backup, but maybe you did. So I'm going to remove Tracy, and let's try again. Let's see what we get this time around. Now we can have a running back cover all 17 weeks with J.K. Dobbins, Kareem Hunt, Zach Charbonnet, and Dare Ogunbowale. So you still need only four running backs if you don't use a single rookie. Obviously, some of these running backs are more valuable than others, and so I want to then make this an even harder problem to solve. I'm going to remove J.K. Dobbins and Alexander Mattison because they covered so many weeks over the course of this season, and I want to try and make it even harder to fill this out of all backups. So, to cover weeks 2 through 17, since we cannot cover week 1 because Dobbins and Mattison were the only two in week 1, you can still cover it using only 5 running backs. You only need Kareem Hunt, Zach Charbonnet, Amir Abdullah, Damian Pierce, and Dare Ogunbowale. And then, even if you get a worst case of, hey, somebody is a Charbonnet truther, you are definitely not going to get him. Well, you can still cover with Kareem Hunt, Amir Abdullah, Braylon Allen, Ray Davis, Dare Ogunbowale, and Emmanuel Wilson. So, no matter what, if I keep going with this strategy of, okay, I'm going to see how many running backs it takes, I can just start cutting people out left and right, and it realistically only takes me 5 or 6 running backs to have coverage for the entire season. So, if I only need 5 or 6 running backs to cover the entire year, that's the number that I am going to target for. I need to have at least one of these guys every single week. Especially when you're in best ball, you need to try and have at least one of these guys throughout the course of the whole season. And you know when some of them are going to pop, you don't know when others are going to pop, so you kind of have to figure it out over the course of the rest of this episode as to what exactly you are comfortable with. I'll obviously provide my recommendation, but there are some interesting things right here, like the quarterbacks, where it's a matter of how comfortable you are in being close to potentially not having that spot filled in your lineup. So, there were 32 total running backs outside of the top 40 who have at least 1 week. 12 of them are 1 week wonders, 8 are 2 week wonders, and 2 of them had back 20 top 24 weeks. So the remaining 12 had 3 or more weeks that they were in the top 24. Of those players that had 3 or more weeks where they were in the top 24, 8 of them had back-to-back weeks at some point in the season. And they always had a week after those back-to-back weeks. Now, there were 2 players that had back-to-back weeks where they did not ever have another top 24 week. Those 2 being Isaiah Davis and Nick Chubb. But if we look at the other 8 players, that means that we have an 80% chance that if somebody has back-to-back top 24 weeks, that they will have at least another top 24 week at some point in the season. It doesn't need to be the 3rd week in a row. It can be literally any other week in the season. And in fact, there was not a single instance this past year where a player had a back-to-back week being their first 2 of the top 24 weeks of the season, and then they followed it up with a 3rd. Tyrone Tracy, he had weeks 5 and 6, he missed week 7. Kareem Hunt had weeks 7, 8, 9, and 10, but his first top 24 week was week 5. So that's what I mean by they did not start with two back-to-backs and then continue it on with a third. So what am I looking at as an indicator of somebody that I want to buy into? If they have back-to-back top 24 weeks, I want to try and get them. I have an 80% chance of just hitting on any other top 24 week. No matter what in best ball, if you're shooting for top 24 weeks, which you should be, then you want to get one of these guys because they're probably going to come relatively cheap. And so that's what I'm going to end up aiming for. In best ball, I want to try and identify as many of these guys who have 2 weeks in a row that they are top 24. And my roster might end up getting slowly filled with those guys, and I just have to get rid of guys who don't hit any top 24 thresholds. And that's fine, because that's ultimately what you're trying to do in a best ball scenario, is guys that are performing in potentially predictable ways, where like you might not know if they do it this week, but you know they have a chance at doing it, you want to get them onto your team. So that's how I'm going to try and roster construct this in best ball. Now, the other thing to look at with best ball is how well can we capture these players if we are setting ourselves a certain threshold. So if we set ourselves the threshold of we're always going to go get a player when they are projected for a top 24 week, you end up capturing 51 out of 103 total potential weeks where a player is going to finish in the top 24. So this means about half of our top 24 weeks come from players who are not within the top 24 projections that week. So keep that in mind. You don't want to just rely on projections and being the top 24 because you're missing out on half of the usable weeks from players in this range. You want to have some of those players who are within different ranges, potentially those top 40 ranges or even outside further than that. Just random players who aren't projected to do anything but have the potential to have a pop week and appear into your lineup. If you do rely entirely on those top 24 players, 33 out of the 51 top 24 weeks ended up finishing in the top 24. That's honestly not as great of a percentage as I thought it would be. So you only have a 66% hit rate if you end up going for that strategy. So sure, it might be nice to have a player and try to fill them in your lineup with a top 24 player from that week, but you need to have at least two of them if you want the expectation that you're going to have at least one filling your lineup. And so I think that's the important takeaway from this, is that you can't just have one top 24 on any given week coming from this kind of range in order to fill your best ball lineup. You need to have two. When I talked about last week how in best ball, my gut is I have two players for every single position in my lineup. This is where that's really useful. That 66% expectation, now that becomes I expect to have 1.3 players per week who fill that spot in my lineup. So as long as I can have players who are projected to fit into that, then I'm good. So when you're looking at something like this, I can fill potentially my fourth running back off of this strategy. I don't want to try and rely on filling my third and fourth running backs because my first and second are filling my RB1 spot in my best ball leagues. Now let's turn it over to lineup leagues. In lineup leagues, we're obviously trying to shoot for top 24 weeks. So how many players actually are projected for top 24 weeks and end up succeeding and finishing with that top 24 week? We have a total of 15 that actually are projected to top 24 in any week. And one of those is Christian McCaffrey. So I'm going to remove him from the sample and say we have 14. Out of those 14 players, only 8 of them actually ever end up finishing with a top 24 week the same week that they're projected to be top 24. So keep that in mind, that your hit rate on these players is actually pretty low. Like 8 out of 14, that's nearly 50%. So it's one of those things where going back to that 66% chance of just capturing all the weeks based on trying to capture them when you start for a top 24. Like, I feel like 8 out of 14 with the variance of a fantasy season, it's probably still within that margin of error. And so I would expect that if you're starting any one of these players on any given week, you only have a 2/3 chance of succeeding. Now, if you expand it out to top 40, those numbers start to change a little bit. You end up with 58 total weeks where a player within the top 40 is able to finish in the top 24. So we've now increased our number from that 33 up to 58. So we've added on an additional 25. That sounds really good until you look at how many players are projected within the top 40 at some point. You end up with 167 total weeks projected within the top 40 across 37 unique players. So out of all of that, you're able to extrapolate that 25 in terms of players that are within that 25 to 40 range for projection on the week are actually ending up finishing out of adding on a whole 116 more opportunities to finish in the top 24. So odds wise, that is horrible. You do not want to be a part of that in a lineup league. Now, if you're stuck into doing that, okay, you're stuck into doing that. And so how often do those top 40 players end up finishing in the top 40? Well, they do that 62% of the time. They do it 103 out of those 167 times. So if you are comfortable with a top 40 result, it's the same as relying on that top 24 result. It's that 60 to 70% range, probably right around that 2/3, 66% sort of thing. And that's the thing that you're relying on if you are going down to a top 40 running back and subbing them in for that week. You need to understand that you are playing somebody who should be played in a flex position in one of your core running back positions. And so if you feel like your flexes are better, you're making up for it, which is hopefully what you're doing when you're playing this kind of strategy, then that is how you are making up the points on your roster. But you need to know that in a lineup league, that those are your odds. Your odds are not that you're going to be getting good results out of these players. And in fact, that you are more likely to land in that range. You have a player projected to be 24 to 40. They're more likely to be in that range of 24 to 40. Sure, you do have the chance of that spike week where they finish top 24, but you don't often get those world-beating results that win you the week entirely. You just might get lucky and that position doesn't lose you that week. Lastly, I want to take a look at players preseason ranked 40 to 64 versus those ranked 65 plus. And of those who are ranked 40 to 64, they are 6 of the 9 who get top 24 finishes off of their projections. They also consist of 8 of 15 who are projected to finish top 24, and only 2 of them were projected and did not finish top 24. So those 40 to 64 running backs are the prime running backs. They consist of the majority of those running backs who actually get up into those ranges and become useful for you. Of running backs that were ranked 65 or greater at the beginning of the season, only 6 of those running backs actually ever got into the range of having top 24 projections, and only 3 of them actually finished that week where they were projected to be top 24. So based on these numbers, I want to be heavily into the running backs in that 40 to 64 range. I don't want to rely on as much in the running backs that are 65 plus. So kind of like how any running back on a 53 strategy from last year kind of morphed a little bit to, yeah, there's some guys that I don't care about. The same thing is what I'm seeing here. The 40 to 64 running backs, if you can get as many of those backups as possible, those are the guys that you want. Now, when you're in the offseason and you don't know exactly how the running back rooms are going to shake out, it's a little bit harder to just target those 40 to 64 guys. But if you are looking through rosters and you get towards the season and, yeah, that guy goes on to a practice squad, this guy is clearly the number three back. Like, those are not the ones that you may want to target. If you're going to target a certain number of players dedicated to this strategy on your roster, focus in on those guys who are projected to be either in the split backfields, the direct backups, those kinds of guys. You know, the common sense things that you're probably already used to. If you are going to target guys that are outside of those ranges, you want to try and focus on teams that have the ability to vault a random running back into stardom. Some examples of those teams in my mind that may or may not have hit this season: San Francisco. They hit in terms of having a random running back come in and do really well, but Miami didn't have to do that. Detroit didn't have to do that, but both of those teams are ones that I would absolutely want to have those running backs. Buffalo, they didn't have to do that this year, and they still managed to produce Ty Johnson and Ray Davis, who had multiple top 24 weeks. Indianapolis, Atlanta, like, you can go through these teams to have guesses as to who might actually produce these top 24 running backs outside of that initial range of 40 to 64. So now moving on to the total numbers that I want to roster. In best ball, I need to have six players who are having some number of weeks over the course of the season. And so when I am looking at the total number of players that are inside the top 40 in projections, I need to come up with getting enough to quote-unquote guarantee a fill by having six players eligible in order to fill out all those weeks. If you target six total players that are going to hit over multiple weeks, some over the point of the season, there are 32 total players who were outside the top 40. And let's say we go out to 96, three running backs per team. That seems pretty reasonable to me. So 32 out of 56 players, since we're removing the top 40, is the number that actually have some sort of hit. Obviously, I'm allowing for a little bit of churn. Kareem Hunt was not somebody that was on any team, but as soon as he became relevant, you should have recognized that he was top three on a team and gotten rid of somebody and potentially cleared a roster spot in order to put Kareem Hunt on it. So in all, that number 32 out of 56, flip that around to 56 over 32, multiply by that by six, you end up with 10.52. So I'm looking at 11 running backs, and I'm hoping to get most of them in that 40 to 64 range. However, obviously, I'm not going to guarantee get every single running back of 11 in that 40 to 64 range. That's 11 out of a total of 24 running backs. That is way too many. So I'm going to shoot for a 2/3, 1/3 ratio. I'm going to try and get seven running backs in that 40 to 64. So you aren't totally monopolizing it, but you are kind of heavy. And then you get four in that 65 plus range. Pick your favorite targets. That's what I'm going to go for. Also recognize that those four guys are the ones that you might rotate through the season pretty often. Those are the ones that if you find a running back that does two back-to-back weeks, no matter where they are, you go and get them, you swap them out with one of those four running backs if they haven't shown anything. So that's the kind of way I'm going to play this. Now, in lineup, I'm just going to look for top 40 results off of top 40 projections. Basing it off of trying to get top 24 off of top 24 projections, you need to rely on draft capital for that in my mind. So instead, I'm going to just aim for top 40 and see what we need to do in order to not spend any draft capital. Keep in mind, these are players that still should make your flex spots. It's just we're putting them into a higher priority running back spot. The idea is you have wide receivers, tight ends, whatever, to fill those flex spots. And so that's where you're making up the difference. You're making up the difference by having higher quality players in those spots to make up for the fact that you are not getting the best result out of your RB2. So there was a total of 37 players who had a projection within the top 40. So 37 out of 56, you have a 66% chance that a player is going to have at least 1 week. In total, those 37 accumulated a total of 167 weeks, and so that averages out to 4.5 weeks on average per player. To cover 17 weeks at the quote-unquote perfect distribution, you only need 4 players for that. So that's the number that we're going to be trying to target if we had that, but we obviously cannot expect a perfect distribution. In addition, I already mentioned how if you have a top 40 week, you only have a 62% chance of actually making it that week. So 66% chance of even having a player that hits a top 40 projection, tack on a 62% chance of actually being successful in whatever week you start them, only 40% of your players are actually going to have usable weeks. So just keep that in mind, that that's what you're actually expecting out of all these players. Now, looking at our weekly data, we usually have 8 to 10 options per week. So based on that, any running back has a 1 out of 6 chance of being the top 40 option in a specific week. That comes from the fact that if you're outside the top 40, you have 41 all the way up to 96, and so that's pretty close to 60. And so if you're talking 8 to 10 options on any given week, that's where that estimation is coming from. So once again, if you are just following expectation values, you only need 6 running backs in order to have at least 1 option on any given week. So where does this correspond to the roster construction that Scott Connor talked about where he said he wanted 10? It comes down to the odds that you actually have that guy available. So if you have an expectation of needing 6 players in order to have 1, reality is on any given week, you only have a 66% chance of actually having at least 1 player. Now, if you bump that up to 10, you're up to an 84% chance that you have at least 1 player. And so that's why Scott mentions 10. That's the number that has felt right to him, where usually he doesn't need to buy that many running backs over the course of the season. If you have an 84% chance and you extrapolate that over 17 weeks, you only need to go out and actually buy a running back maybe 1 or 2 weeks over the course of the season. And so with you having just 1/3 on your team that you get every single year, that kind of makes sense. You get 1 extra third in some kind of trade, and you now have your 2/3 that you need for the whole season. So that's the number that I am personally going to target and that I feel comfortable with, is that 10 number feels about right. However, if I know that I have a lot of these top 40 to 64 running backs, I might be willing to lower that a little bit. I might be willing to say, you know what? I know what the data says, and I'm willing to be a little bit more uncomfortable and go down to 7 or 8. But if I am not able to have a lot of players in that 40 to 64 range, I need to go even higher than 10, or just know that I need a lot of those thirds and maybe some seconds in order to get some guys that can fill gaps as the season comes along. So those are my takeaways from this episode. If you have a best ball league and you want to rely on solely having one of your 4 running backs that you have on your team be filled by entirely backup running backs, you want to dedicate 11 roster spots to it. Now, that might be pretty difficult because you need 23 other players, and then you have to fill in 11 running backs. So you need a best ball team that has 34 total roster spots. That's a lot, and not many best ball leagues have that many spots. So more than likely, you probably aren't going to be able to rely on a method like this. For lineup, you need to dedicate 10 spots in order to have a running back who's going to finish in the top 40. And that is a little bit easier to do. When you think about the number of spots that are dedicated to all of your other positions, you can probably trim that down a little bit. If you have a total of, say, 30 total roster spots, you can fill up all the other positions in 20 spots. If you have 25, it might be a little tight. Maybe if you have like a start 9 league, you might be able to get away with this because you need your 8 starters for the 8 other positions, and then you can have one backup for all of them except for like a tight end. And so you can kind of cover this using this strategy. But it's going to be tight at that 25. But if you have 27 or 28, I've seen quite a few leagues with those kinds of settings, then you can probably fit this strategy into it. And the fact that this has been so intuitive and something that people have been doing for a few years, where it's kind of hard to accumulate all of these backup running backs, except for with managers that have never really been exposed to it before, that's something where this may not be the strategy that you're actually able to pull off. If you find yourself, like, in order to get to this 10 number that I would personally feel comfortable, like, yes, it is beyond expectation, but it's where I feel comfortable not needing to spend seconds and thirds in order to have options for that week. If you're looking at that and you're just like, hey, I can't get running backs that are within the top 96. Like, I'm finding guys that are in the 115, 120 range that are probably going to be on practice squads when the season starts. Maybe you'll need to look at one of these other options. Look at an option where you're doing it based off of the backup quarterbacks or the next 2 weeks as I go through wide receivers and tight ends. Those are the kinds of things that you can go through and try to figure out how to best maximize this on your roster. So that's everything that I have for this week. Go and check out everything at patreon.com/SouthHarmon, the South Harmon YouTube, southharmonff.com. Check out all the stuff that is there. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to reach out on X/Twitter at Dynasty Koopa or on Discord at Koopa Troopa 8. As always, stay sharp and keep grinding that edge. I'll see you next week with the wide receivers.